This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am your host, Chris Spangle. Across the table from me is Greg. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
That's Greg Linz for you keeping score at home. I'm melancholy today.
Melancholy?
It is May 21st, 2015, and last night was the last show of My Hero David Letterman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well.
And you are an asshole, sir.
I did. I got you a little rustled this morning.
I had to quit chat.
You did.
I had to quit chat. I've rage quit.
I think Joe was afraid that we had lost Dear Leader forever.
Dear Leader's out of control. both in memes and in life. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
That's a story time with Gina type podcast.
Oh my God. If we could have recorded the conversation that we just had the last hour. I mean, it's like 9:12. I have to be up at 4:15 tomorrow morning.
We'll make this quick.
We better make this quick.
But you were up on Snapchat all night, according to Aaron Ewart.
Aaron Ewart. And that guy. See, when I was... here's my David Letterman remembrance. I idolized Letterman, Conan when I could watch him, SNL, the early 90s cast especially.
When it was incredible.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And Bob and Tom, whom I work for now. And since eight years old, I've been listening to Bob and Tom. At night, starting in like third or fourth grade, I would stay up and watch Letterman every night.
Your parents let you stay up and watch Letterman?
They didn't know.
Oh, I was going to say.
And then I'd listen to Bob and Tom every morning. And so I remember watching the first show in 1994. I have an autograph because on the early days of the internet, you could go on and you could get an autograph sent to you. You can check it out on my Instagram. So I have an autograph from David Letterman, hopefully. Might have been an intern. Who knows? But so few people were on the internet and so few people were visiting his website that, you know, they could put up a link saying, get a free autograph.
Well, yeah, no one would leave the portal. Like, it was right. All through AOL or right. Originally Prodigy or something like that.
It was 1994. It was a different time then.
A simpler time.
A simpler, better internet. Before memes ruined and really improved lives.
Memes have saved the world in many circumstances.
So yeah, it's definitely bittersweet for me. I mean, I am a huge Letterman fan. I know that, you know what? F conservatives, by the way. I've had enough of you people because they're so humorless, and they have. And we're going to talk about this because conservatives are just as bad as the left when it comes to free speech. You know, David Letterman has his point of view, and so you know he's never been funny. He's blah blah blah. Go screw yourself. It's one thing if you just don't like his comedy, but if you don't like him because of his political views, because you're so weak intellectually that you can't handle hearing a differing opinion from your own and processing it, that you just can't expose yourself to anything that might rattle your cage, just shut up.
Yeah.
Don't you talk bad about my boy.
And that's mainly because of the shot. He does take cheap shots at like Sarah Palin, Rick Santorum. He takes shots at the Christian conservative.
Of course.
Yeah.
Guess what? Culturally, they're out of favor.
Yeah, and they don't take criticism well.
I don't know why. Why would we not make fun of a group of people that apparently had a child molester on their board? The Family Research Council.
You went there.
I did.
You went there.
You know, now it's not Family Research Council's fault that Josh Duggar was a kid toucher and was on their board. You know, they didn't know, but it just gets spun out of control and makes the right look bad, and then it feeds into this whole meme, for lack of a better word, of how awful the conservative right is.
It's the Mark Foley effect. It's the, you know, the guy advocating, you know, the sanctity of marriage who's tapping his feet in the bathroom stall at the airport.
Exactly right. So yeah, bittersweet for me. Definitely shaped shaped my sense of humor and warped me. I remember, see, my dad listened to comedy tapes. My dad and I really only have two things in common, the Indianapolis 500 and Bob and Tom. When I worked in politics, he really did not understand anything about what I did. He just knew I didn't make any money and I didn't work for Republicans. So he didn't really get it. I'm not going to say that he wasn't proud of me. He just doesn't understand politics or cares. And so we didn't have a lot in common. When I got the job at Bob and Tom, a nationally syndicated comedy radio show where I run all the web stuff, he was like, wow, okay, you're doing well in life.
And you have an intern in Jeff Vibbert. You know, he's
say whatever you want about Jeff because he doesn't listen to this show.
Oh man.
Just like I don't listen to his podcast.
He has a podcast.
The Jeff Vibbert podcast, yeah.
Oh, I heard the one you were on.
Yeah.
Once he started talking, I turned it off.
Right. No, it's a good show. Download it. Jeff is actually, he's a young writer on the show, very funny guy. And I was on his first episode because I'm everybody's first. As Mark Small here in town called me, the ghost in the machine, the ghost in the podcasting machine. I've been the first guest on like so many podcasts because I've helped them buy their equipment and I have to teach them how to use it before we podcast. Like our friends at The Obsessive Viewer. And,
yes, Matt Hurt, who I was their first host and then was never asked back.
He was summarily dismissed.
I was asked back to do a Netflix episode.
Well, they knew that you touched a boob before, so they were threatened.
Well, that's true, you know, and then we did a live broadcast for our film festival in Irvington, but
you'll have to come out to PopCon when they do the live podcast out there.
Oh, I'm gonna troll them hard.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Matt Hurt is going to be in tears, crying, asking for security to remove me.
Oh, the security thing will be a different angle from last year, where instead he was just crying. So yeah, I and I'm like the luckiest SOB on the planet in the history of SOBs, like 8 years old, walking to school, listening to Bob and Tom, wanting to desperately be Bob or Tom or David Letterman, and to get to work for them is like the greatest privilege I've ever had and an amazing career milestone. It's all downhill from here.
Well, no, I mean, you're dear leader.
Right.
So it can't be all bad.
When I worked at the Advocates, I was like, when I was at the LPI, I was like, it can't get better than this. And then when I was at the Advocates for Self-Government, I was like, it can't get any better than this. And then it did. And so we'll see what's next. But
all things are good.
I'm like, somebody who has no job right now is slitting their wrists. Somebody's like sitting there doing spreadsheets, listening to this podcast.
I'm never listening to that show again. They're way too positive for libertarians.
He's happy. I can't stand other people's happiness. That's not how libertarianism works.
No, you're being oppressed.
So yeah, Letterman is just...
He really meant that much to you.
Yes.
See, I watched him a lot, you know, especially because of the Indiana connection and then Fresh Market and been brought up where I live.
Right.
And, you know, he's such a god. And I just never, I rarely laughed.
Yeah. Now, for me, it's, he's an amazing broadcaster. He's not a comedian. Like, Jay was a comedian.
Yeah.
Conan was a writer, a comedy writer. Dave was a personality. Carson was that way too. Carson wasn't a writer. Carson wasn't a, you know, he's just a broadcaster.
He's a host.
Right, a host.
With a very funny host.
And Dave is in that similar vein. And, you know, there's, he's good at interviewing, good at talking. You know, writers prop him up and he's got good writers. He's not a stand-up comedian. He's not, you know, he never specialized in one skill. He had a lot of different skills, and that's what made him a spectacular broadcaster. And that's sort of what I admire. I admire people who have multiple talents and can spread it around and do a lot of different things.
And it's rare to be a personality that isn't so. He was very good. He did better interviews than Jay.
Yeah.
So like when his funniest parts I never thought were the monologues. He was funny when he was just talking to the guest.
Right.
Whereas Jay, I felt struggled whenever he talked to the guest because most of the times he was such close friends with them. He never wanted to.
Hey, I never spent much Snapchat money.
Fuck that weasel.
Whoa.
I hate that guy.
Hostility.
I hate Jimmy Fallon too. Jimmy Fallon.
Oh.
Jimmy Fallon's a phony.
He
is. Oh, I can't believe. Oh, this is so cool. I can't believe how famous I am. Oh, I'm so.
Take your fake humility and shove it.
I think it's genuine. I just don't like, where the world's going. I don't like what's happening to men and guys like Jimmy Fallon getting the Tonight Show and Seth Meyers being, you know, the late night or
Never seen an episode.
Oh, I don't love like that. All they do is like in politics, the zinger question. All they do is the zinger.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm snark. So smart and witty.
It's that snark crap that we talked about. Yeah. I'm going to try and curse less. I'm very passionate about this topic.
You did it in front of a listener's mom today, publicly on Facebook. That didn't go over so well.
Okay. Aaron said, what did your parents hit you with when you were a child?
Uh-huh.
Everybody said a wooden spoon. And I said the fucking truth.
Yeah.
Okay? Great joke. I didn't know his mom had commented on the thread. I didn't know that was his mom.
The dead giveaway of her last name and clicking on her picture?
I don't troll people's moms on Facebook. What are you doing on Facebook?
No, I'm conscious whenever it's not in a private environment on Facebook about how I troll.
Ah, okay.
Unless it's Nick Taylor.
So then I got called out, and Aaron was like, that's my mom, asshole. So then I had to double down. I couldn't, you know.
No, you committed. It was beautiful to watch.
I committed full force.
Oh,
it's a new me.
You did. You jihaded her right in the face on social media.
Reminds me of what's the movie with the race car bed?
With the race car bed?
Yeah, Nick Swardson, and he has the race car bed. Never mind.
Huh.
God, I wish I could think of that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of that. That's a late 80s movie.
No, it's more like 2000s, but anyways. Jimmy Kimmel all the way. I'm all in on Jimmy Kimmel. Viva la Kimmel. Stephen Colbert, whatever.
He's going to be great.
Whatever. I never got into the Colbert Show.
You never got into the Colbert Show.
Nah.
So just a second ago, you were saying your life's going so great. Everything's so wonderful and beautiful. Well, so he did the correspondence dinner for George W. Bush when
he
was
in the
White House. And he got up there and talked about what a dream it was. And he goes, I wish someone would pinch me. Or better yet, why doesn't somebody just shoot me in the face? And it was right after Dick Cheney had just shot one of his hunting buddies right in the face. And he had a look of fear and terror on his face that he doesn't usually portray, and it was wonderful.
I'm interested to see how he does and how he... And I'd like to see James Corden. I haven't watched his show either, because I work...
I hear really good things about that.
I get up at like 5 a.m. I just don't, you know... I loved Craig Ferguson. So here's my Letterman remembrance. One of the weird, funny things that happened in my life. So I watched it every night, and I say my parents didn't know, but they probably knew. You know, I was a straight C student, and I'm clearly an intelligent man because I'm a libertarian podcaster. You can't be brilliant without and have a libertarian podcast.
There are no dummy libertarians.
No, every libertarian is smart and beautiful and funny and good looking. Especially their dear leader.
Incredibly charming, witty, and
hilarious.
An incredible air of authority.
Generous
that he possesses.
And thorough.
Yeah.
And so the night that Drew... So you have to understand, my dad listened to comedy tapes. So we had cassette tapes like Andrew Dice Clay, Sam Kinison, Tasteless Trucker Tunes, Jeff Foxworthy in the early days when he was really dirty. We're talking late 80s, early 90s. So I am like 10...
Oh, wow.
Starting at like 6 years old, you know, so I'm I'm listening to the filthiest comedy albums that truck stops can offer. And the night that Drew Barrymore flashes Letterman, we're on vacation. And my dad runs from downstairs from his bedroom down to the living room where the pullout couch was and turns off the TV and yells, I hope you didn't see that. I don't want that shit warping your mind.
After you'd been listening to Bob and Tom for years.
Right. And the great thing is now Bob and Tom are paying for my therapy.
Oh, gosh.
So
yeah.
I'm totally
trolled him.
Yeah.
Totally trolled him.
I'm like, Dad, I go to school and sing Prison Bitch. Well, if you don't know what Prison Bitch is, look it up.
I don't. Because, see, I never listened to any of that. And so people would make the Bob and Tom reference. And I'd laugh along just so I didn't get, you know, grilled about not watching or being able to watch.
Right. For those of you not familiar, Bob and Tom, basically, we have a lot of comedians come through. It's a comedy-centric show, 60-some albums of comedy records and cuts
and bits. Their CDs used to just be unbelievable. Yeah. That's the first time I heard Beer Run.
Yep.
Then Donnie Baker, obviously.
Donnie Baker's amazing. So anywhere you go online, I do all that stuff. All the video editing, audio editing.
Tweeting.
Yep. So I don't do much writing because I'm not necessarily a comedy writer. I'm just, if you sat down and asked me to write a bit like Dean or Jeff does, forget it. But anyways, so yeah. Good times. Salute to you, David Letterman. It really, to me, it's very sad. And it's amazing how different TV is going to look in like a year.
Yeah.
Leno, Letterman are gone. Regis Philbin's gone.
Regis is gone. Then Craig Ferguson's retiring too. You're retired.
He's retired.
I mean, it's the total upheaval.
John Stewart's gone.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. But John Oliver will do all right.
Yeah,
he's such a social justice warrior.
I know.
He's that British complainer.
Oh, Maya.
Uh oh.
Maya was supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, be here Thursday, 6 p.m., unless I tell you differently. It is 9:30. Maya is not here. I am not her calendar.
No.
Does Chris Spangle look like a calendar?
No.
Then why are you trying to...
Are you in trouble? Are you being threatened?
Oh, of course I'm going to be to blame. I'm going to be blamed.
You're
going to
be burned like that flag?
Right. So, Maya... We ought to call Maya and see... All right, can you hear me? Greg, can you hear Greg?
Can you hear me all right, Maya?
I can hear your fat jaws fucking flapping, yes.
All right, so we got Maya on the line. We were literally, when you messaged me, Maya, I was just saying, you know, I told her, be here at 6:30 Thursday night unless I say otherwise. I just assumed you'd put it on your calendar.
What's a calendar?
Okay. So it is like, it is very fortuitous, as you kids would say, that you're messaging me and yelling at me for not reminding you when I'm not your dad.
Or booking agent.
No, but you know what? You need me. You need my voice on your podcast for good ratings. So, you know.
So we were gonna touch on the flag burning and what you did. Because apparently you became internet famous this past couple weeks, right?
I decided to make a triumphant return to Facebook, and I did the dumbest thing I could possibly think of without expelling any energy, and it worked.
So, like, it was months ago when you burned a flag and took a photo or a video of it, right?
It was well over a year ago.
Yeah, I remember when you did it, and I was like, whatever.
No, it wasn't too long after I got my balls cut off.
See what happens? Next thing you know, Bruce Jenner's out there.
Fuck Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, what? We'll get to Bruce Jenner later, because I imagine maybe somebody out there cares about your opinion on Bruce Jenner. I don't, but...
People care about all my opinions!
Oh, God. So you burned a flag. Why did you burn the American flag?
Well, I was making a video. This was also not too long after I made a 20-minute long video talking about the morality of killing cops and posted it to YouTube on a public channel.
I remember that. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. And so I decided to do another video about burning the flag, and I talked about a bunch of shit. And I decided I didn't like the video, so I just took some screenshots from it. And I was like, everyone talks about burning the flag, and I remember seeing in different brutalist groups, people were like, oh, you're a pussy, and you won't burn the flag, or you won't do this, or you won't do that. And so I was like, well, I fucking did, so piss off.
So fast forward to recently, Greg, you kind of know the genesis a little bit of how this whole thing started. Because the flag burning discussion notwithstanding, the whole out of control nature of what happened is sort of interesting to me, how this stuff spreads.
Well, so I didn't, because if I remember right, Maya, did you do it and post it on a Friday?
What I did is I had liked the page a long time ago called Dysfunctional Veterans. It's a very well-liked page, gets a lot of traffic. And they made a comment. They had a picture talking about, you know, like, don't step on my flag and you dirty black people or something or another like that. And so I posted the picture and said, I fucking, you know, poor spelling and grammar, basically said, like, you know, I one-upped it. I'm an Air Force veteran, and I one-upped the whole stepping on a flag thing. 240 comments later, they removed my post. But it had already been too late. It had been screenshot. They already started harassing where I currently work, where they thought I could have worked, places I had previously worked. My inbox filled up with about 200 messages in a matter of an hour. And wow. I got a 30-day ban on my management.
And then you made a YouTube video going through them, right?
I made 4 YouTube videos, and they got reported and taken down probably within 15 minutes of them being posted. I did post a couple videos on my main profile page, just scrolling through message after message after message from everyone I can think of. I mean, there's just an ungodly amount of messages.
And that spilled over.
The last one I got on my main account was Friday the 15th. And it said, you sick, ugly piece of shit, go kill yourself. And that's the gist of about 90% of the messages.
Right. So, essentially, the reaction that you have gotten is basically the same that a cartoonist would get from Muslims had they drawn Muhammad.
Yes and no. I would expect if I drew Muhammad, the reaction I'd get from the Muslim community that got offended by that would probably be more intelligent, and actually I would more or less be more afraid of them than the fat American slob piece of the shit that have threatened me thus far.
So kind of run, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but can you kind of run through some of the stuff that has been said to you?
I do. This is an old, you know, us libertarians and anyone that listens to the show has, you know, seen this. This is hilarious because this is also one of the last messages I got on my main account. If you hate America so bad, just take a trip over to another country like Somalia. I actually got one from somebody I was stationed with in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it kind of goes along the lines of, I can't say all the words that are in here, but you worthless piece of shit, I can't believe you, I actually had to serve with you, I should have fucking taken you out then, fucking ISIS bitch, go die, you disgraced my country, stolen valor ass bitch, tranny, my weight, my looks, and my trans status were probably some of the main attack points, showing that these people are knuckle draggers and just the bottom of the barrel.
Right. They didn't do their homework. That's the easy stuff. There's so many more things to hate about you than your weight, your trans status. They should have contacted me. I would have given them a list.
They instantly, in that first initial 240 comments on my comment that I'd made on that page, they had come through and they saw that I posted a couple, like the day prior, says, if anybody needs me, I'll be at World Vapor Indy, which is a local vape shop. Well, that was a bad idea because somebody decided to say I work there. And since everyone's dumber than a box of owl shit, they started bombarding their Facebook page. They were calling, they were sending emails, everything. I removed every post I'd ever made on that page, any mention I've ever made of that page. I took off my review and everything, and I called them up and I said, guys, I made a post about your shop a couple days ago. I am so sorry this happened. I'm going to stay away for a little while so your heat, because I know vaping's getting attacked bad enough as it is. I was like, I'm so sorry. Then Papa Roo, my old employer, was getting bombarded with shit, and people were leaving bad Yelp reviews and just attacking him. And he's like, hey, you fucking idiot. She doesn't work here anymore. And she hasn't for like a year. Which it states thusly on my fucking profile. It says I hadn't worked there forever.
Right.
Well, and then I had limited a lot of my old photos. And so I went through and I made sure that I hid certain ones and I unhid other ones. And people just had a heyday with them. Just were going just absolutely insane. Some of the things got hundreds upon hundreds of shares. I think the one picture I posted a picture, a different flag burning picture from that same day, where I'm just starting to light it with the flare and then my gun's visible and everything else. And it covers up some of my fatness. I made a post with my third backup account. And I have like 17 of them, but
hear that, Amir?
So my one account I posted with it, and it's still sitting at 102 shares, and none of it's positive. Not a lick of it. Yep.
Yeah. So, really interesting, because if you have seen like memes and libertarians talking about flag burning over the last couple weeks, Maya is the reason. Just so you know, you as listeners know the genesis now of why libertarians are talking about this. So I think it's
well,
yeah, go ahead.
Another thing happened is that I'm really good friends with James McDuffie, and
name dropper.
You need to have him on this show. But
who?
James Mac McDuffie, the guy that runs the Troops Are Welfare Whores. The Troops Are Parasitic Tools.
Okay. Sounds like a delightful interview.
Bipartisan appeal, clearly.
The dude's smart. He knows how to get people around. He does the same thing I do. He gets people all amped up and paying attention and then slaps them in the fucking face with some truth. And he started sharing my stuff and it just exploded and it just kept going. And I don't know how many different people sent me a link to some, you know, flagatry page that had shared my photo. There was a couple like hot chicks of the Marines or like gorgeous veterans or something like that. They showed like pictures of like hot chicks in uniform and out. And they had shared, like a couple of those had shared my picture. And people were just hundreds upon hundreds of comments. Like I said, I literally probably got well over 1,000 messages between my main inbox, my other inbox, and my spam. I didn't even know there was a spam inbox until it had like this massive number next to it. And I was like, holy crap. I've got, right now on my main account, I've got 60-something-odd friend requests sitting there. None of them have mutual friends. Half of them have military uniforms in their pictures.
Wow. Yeah, Rupert's Kids, who you've done volunteer work with over the years, Rupert's Kids, I'm an admin on their page, and we just were getting killed. I mean...
I check the emails every single morning at the office, and I just... There's been quite a few that come through there, too.
Oh. I wondered who was doing that. I wondered who was doing that lately. I'm glad it's... that answers a question that I had that I needed to ask. But anyways, so check out rupertskids.org. They got unfairly smeared because of Maya, because of Maya's lunacy. I'm sad to say that We Are Libertarians didn't get hit at all.
Not one message.
Not one message.
When was the last time I really... you know what? If you had me on more often, they would have come and hit you. You post this and see if this gets shared and people want to hear why I did it. And I can give you a nice long explanation on exactly why I do it and why I think more people should burn the flag.
Let me just stop right here and say that the views and opinions of Maya Axton are not necessarily those of Greg Lynn's Chris Spangle, Chris Spangle's employer specifically.
Yeah, no.
And but libertarians in general.
Let me ask you this. Did anyone, because I was just curious, did you get anybody that, like, did they contact you positively? Like, it made them think?
People I already knew. The thing is that I went down to, on my main account, I probably, I only have 167 people. I would say a good 15 of those are dead. They're just kind of like remembrance accounts. So there's not a whole lot of people on my main account. On my backup account, however, on my primary backup account, I've got still a lot of my old brutalist friends. I've got a whole bunch of, you know, of the crazies. And
also, thank you for just friend requesting me, Dick.
What? I haven't been on this account for like eons. Which
oh,
is
look,
be my new main account.
Maya unfriended me. It must be a new month.
But I had a lot of people ask. They're like, I don't want to threaten you. I don't want to yell at you and call you dirty names like the other people. I just want to know why. And I had some really, really good conversations. I think a couple of them were in the videos I posted on the Facebook page to these people about why I did it. And it started out with like, well, you know, I don't like this country a whole lot either, but I think the flag's an important symbol and people fought and died for it. And at the very end, some of them were like, wait, you're right. This flag represents this nation. Without this nation, there would be no flag. Wars are fought on behalf of the nation. And that's what we fly the flag during the war for the country. The president has the flag all over his plane and shit. The flag represents his country. So when I burn the flag, I'm showing my disgust, distaste, and all-out just hatred for this country and what it's become and what it stands for. And a couple people got that. They understood that, no, this isn't some special symbol that belongs to the people and military fought for. No, it's just a symbol for the country, and people died for the country. And once people make that connection, they stop getting all butthurt about it, and they're like, holy crap, you're right.
It's tough, though, because isn't it such an individual-level issue? Because the flag means different things to so many people. Like, for you, it is a representation in a way when you burn it to disavow all the, you know, awful acts it's committed in the name of liberty, freedom, and its, you know, foundations. But then, like, did anyone contact you and try to get you into a discussion really about what the symbol actually represents? Or did, you know, I just find it interesting because it's something where, like, if you, I tend to have a different view of the flag, but I don't, you know, you and I project different beliefs into it. I just think it'd be great to hear, like, you know, if someone contacted you and said, hey, I'd never considered it this way, I agree with you.
Not really, because as we know in our society, people are more likely to leave a negative message or review than they are to leave a positive review.
Yeah.
I can't, in a lot of people's privacy posts, so somebody might have shared it and said something in a positive light, but I did not see it. A lot of posts were taken down. They were reported, or too much shit happened on them, and pages removed them before I got to see them. I know in the circles I've run in before, the political circles and stuff, a lot of people are like, oh my God, this is awesome. A lot of people did show concern and said, you know, your life may be in danger now, or, you know, you're going to have to be careful if you ever try to go to the VA again, or if you, you know, you're out in the town. I mean, you have fucking pink hair, so you're going to stand out a little bit. You know, someone might do something or say something. Somebody might go after your employer. And I made sure to turn around and point out the absurdity of that concern, that it is so absurd to say that these same people that are threatening my life for burning a piece of fabric are the same people who say we live in the freest country on earth.
Yeah, to me, it's freedom of speech. You have a right to speak a political message in whatever way that you find necessary. And people have the right to be offended by it, I guess. But I guess our listeners, and I think all of us involved in We Are Libertarians, for the most part, are pretty open-minded people and recognize things as freedom of speech, and you take in that information and you process it and you think about it, and then you come to a conclusion. We're not necessarily emotional people, because obviously we're libertarians. I'm probably the most, well, I was going to say I'm the most emotional, but Maya's on the line.
I've got you trumped on.
Yeah.
I cry during Buffy, so piss off.
It's your own fault for cutting off your balls.
I had a good friend of mine on Facebook send me a message and says, hey, I'm in a gun group, like a gun buying and selling and trading discussion group, and they're like, they're actively plotting to kill you.
Wow.
And he'd spoken up and said something about how crazy that is. I'm like, they're like, where's this person live? what's, you know, where the, what part of town are they in, blah, blah, blah. We need to get people up there. We need to get contact with people up there to take out this person. We can't allow this to stand. And he said something. He got moved, removed from the group before he could screenshot it, sadly. But it's, I literally have probably 100+ death threats. I've just, I took a bunch of screenshots and I just recorded everything I could, just so I'm not going to turn anything in, obviously. But I had just so much vile hatred, and there had to be no thought in these people's brains that they're sending me a death threat on Facebook. How dumb can you be?
Yeah, I mean, to want to kill somebody over a political statement, over burning a flag, is just a level of psychosis that I don't understand at all. I mean, maybe you can. Well, maybe you can identify with that.
Stephen Shambaugh. I'm an Emmy. Target acquired. I know plenty of vets here. I'll be sure to post this. You just signed a death warrant. Good job, dude. Another one. I will personally beat you to within an inch of your life and leave your fat ass in a dumpster. I'm reading these verbatim, so any of the grammar is theirs. Fat ass and dumpster where your corpse belongs, you waste of flesh. Let's see here. I have posted your photo and also was able to get your last known IP address. I'm going to put a request out and further information about you. Let's see what else gets put to the flame. You have been warned. Well, first off, if you still in this day and age think that finding somebody's IP address means you found them, you need to be shot because you're going to ruin the gene pool.
Yeah, I can't believe people call in and gave you death threats. I mean, but all those people that have IP and think that about IP addresses should be shot.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, though.
But.
Go ahead, Maya.
Oh, I mean, I also had people posting on the Stolen Valor page and saying that I wasn't actually a veteran and blah, 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 blah. So I ended up publicly posting my BD-214, which was then promptly reported for nudity. And then Facebook took it down because it contained nudity.
Explain what the military people and their acronyms. What is a BDSM?
DD-214, right?
A BDSM-14.
A BD-214 is the document you get. That's like your release from the military paper. That's what says, you know, this is what you were. This is what you were when you got out. And here's your piece of paper. That's like, I need that when I, you know, I use that when I go to the VA or when I... for other things to prove my military service.
It's like Joe's green card.
All right. Well, we gotta start wrapping up here. But what are some final thoughts? What have you learned through this whole ordeal, Maya?
Would you do anything differently?
I would burn more. If I had any on me and I had any of the spare time outside of work to go and do it, I would burn more. I would burn them publicly if it wasn't against the law to set fires in public. I would love to go and do a video shoot of me walking around anywhere publicly and desecrating a flag, because it's one of those things. It's the Overton window shift that I'm always talking about. What I do with my activism is wake people up and have a discussion. We know we live in a country that unless they're pissed off and they have a vested interest in any of it, they're never going to think about it. They're never going to talk about it. So maybe one way to reach people and start discussions is to really reach out and bitch slap somebody right in their jimmies. Just like me posting a picture of me burning a flag. Whoop-de-doo. Somehow that started discussion that's got people talking. I talked to probably 15 people in depth. Hundreds of messages sent back and forth and had really good connections, really good conversations. And no matter what happens after that or before that, made that worth it, that I connected to at least that many people and maybe educate some people and change somebody's, you know, thought process. You know, we always talk about education is the key to liberty. And, you know, if you reach just one person at a time. Well, I did 15 over a weekend by posting a single picture on Facebook, and who knows how many other people have had discussions or argued or seen the absurdity of worshiping a fucking flag. So I think stunts like this are good. The whole, I even forget the hashtag that they're using to the step on the flag, the solidarity there. and people willing to do something that they know is going to cause possible acts of violence against them. It's standing up in more than I'm going to hold a piece of cardboard above my head that I wrote some, fucking statement on and marched with 1,000 other people.
And I will say, tomorrow is carb day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And if any indication from last year, if this year is like last year, there will be hundreds of 20-something college students out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with the American flag bathing suits and pants. And the American flag will be worn and rubbing up against their genitals all day tomorrow. What could be more respectful than that?
Well, so. The thing is that still some sort of pride or something else. And people don't even see that argument usually when a lot of people tried to use it. A lot of people were fighting on my page with other people in the comments, and they don't even recognize it. Like, it doesn't even go into their head. It's they're desensitized to it. It's okay, and it's prideful. I mean, look how many dumb people wear American everything.
I love that brand, though.
Eagle?
No, American everything. I think they're great. All right, Maya, thanks for calling in. It would be nice to have you in person, so next time you're invited on, actually take it seriously and pretend to
you
give it.
You have to remind me. I didn't leave work today. 500 5-gallon buckets of dirt came out of a basement today.
Please pretend that you...
I only work till like 8 o'clock. I'm sorry I don't work for Bob and Tom who get off at 3.
Pretend to give a shit about me, okay? All right. Love you, buddy. Thank you for coming on. Glad you're still alive.
Have me on more. Bye.
Bye.
See you, buddy.
Oh, Maya.
I've always said the social grace of an Israeli counterstrike.
So, Greg, let's move on to Rand Paul. Let's move on from the anarchy wing of the podcast and move over to the Rand Boner part.
You don't have any thoughts on flag burning? I know you support Maya's you support Maya's expression. You probably disagree with the format or the medium.
I see her point that she started discussions, but for every 15 people that she convinced to see her point, there's another 15,000 that just think she's a lunatic, and
they've been emboldened, and now they have a common enemy,
right?
Which is the worst thing.
But sorry, I got distracted.
It's been happening more frequently since you've had chat open.
It's Maya. Maya is a nut. So, so many discussions. Maya may not have had a lot of great discussions, but I have seen people like the prom queen of Liberty, Whitney Davis,
mm-hmm.
The girlfriend of our podcast.
Our prodigal son.
Our prodigal son, Creighton, the prom king of Liberty. She's had many, many productive discussions on her Facebook page. So... I don't know. I see her point, and I think and we've talked about this on past episodes, for every rational, calm discussion that we have on this podcast, you need Maya, people like Maya, to do bat-ass crazy things to raise the discussion. I'm never going to do it Maya's way. I'm never going to burn a flag, because I don't think that that's the right way to strike a message. Obviously, I think the right way to have a conversation about it is on a podcast or on Facebook, and... discuss nationalism and discuss what the flag actually represents and what it actually means and the difference between the American people and the American government. But, to each their own.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Would you burn a flag, Greg?
Would I burn a flag? No, I wouldn't burn a flag. For me, it's about, we've talked about it a million times. Flag burning is just a bigger issue since flag burning is symbolic, just as a flag is symbolic. The question is what it represents. And so for like me, I don't have the disdain for the flag that so many people do,
right?
Especially libertarians. For me, it's a it's the ideal. It's not the in the practical, the reality. It's not President Obama droning a American citizen without due process. It is what we to what I think that the founding of the country at its inception, even with the flaws it had, was a step forward in human progress.
Right.
I don't see it as a step back. Even with the states being a confederation at the time, there were, you know, the Bill of Rights sort of gave a blanket to, even though it was only white male property owners, it improved human freedom more so than a confederation of states.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was that's the closest we've been to liberty in human history at that moment in time of ratification. But then again, that's the theoretical,
except
that's
for
not
the
realistic.
Slaves and exactly. The Whiskey Rebellion and the and
no
the...
But I mean, that still, even that all being said, that's probably the closest we've moved forward.
Sure.
And so it's,
I mean, this is in many ways the greatest time of freedom in the history of humankind.
Yeah, that moment of inception. And then what happens is, as legal theory goes on, if you get court rulings, which is what, oh, who's this?
No, nobody.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
As court rulings have come down, especially Chris Cuomo, this was pretty controversial 2 weeks ago. He said that hate speech wasn't protected in the Constitution, and it caused a big Twitter controversy. He is Mario Cuomo's son and Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York's brother, on
right.
CNN. And the point was he was making is that due to Supreme Court rulings and legal interpretation, we have some conflicting precedents. So if I have absolute free speech and you and I are on a plane and I am a recent convert to Islam and I yell bomb on a plane and incite, and I incite just all order and human structure, social structure on that plane goes into chaos, would you still protect that?
I wish that I could pull up, I think it was Justice Black's retort to fire in a crowded theater. You keep talking and I'll see if I can find that, because it was the greatest counter argument to the
fire in the crowded theater. And you know, a lot of times the debate that happens around this issue is that they throw a concrete example out. Well, how many times have you been in a theater when fire was yelled? Or, you know, they try to apply the real life situations and the absurdity, since this situation's never happened to you. But it is something to consider. Personally think that there is no price that is too high to pay for free speech. I don't think that. I don't think that you can go down the path of creating exclusions for things like hate speech or for provocation, which is the other exclusion to hate speech that's been created via legal ruling, where if you are saying something specifically with the purpose of provoking another individual to come after you, hit you, kill you, something along those lines, there have been scenarios where that has not been protected and considered protected as free speech.
Right.
Still, even then, I think you have to err on the side of caution. Once you set the precedent of creating exclusions, then you can name 50 million different scenarios and try to legislate little carve-outs, and then you end up with things like the Alien and Sedition Acts or internment camps in World War II. And you can justify them collectively because it's not done on you just can never apply things on a case by – they have to be done on an individual level. Precedent applying to a different situation, it's just impossible to get the context right and to get all the exact scenario.
Right. So I pulled this up. This is libertyforjoe.com. In a post from October in 2014. So I don't know who this person is or what they write, but they pulled the quote from Justice Hugo Black. That is a wonderful aphorism about shouting fire in a crowded theater, but you do not have to shout fire to get arrested. If a person creates disorder in a theater, they would get him there not because of what he hollered, but because he hollered. They would get him not because of any views he had, but because they thought he did not have any views that they wanted to hear. The writer goes on. I don't know who this writer is. I imagine it's Joe, since it's Liberty for Joe. This essentially boils the argument down to a property rights issue and not a free speech issue. You're in an unwritten agreement with the owner of an establishment that you patronize to certain conditions with which you can enter said establishment. This would lead me to believe that in any public forum, one has a complete and unabridged right to free speech. So that's a small summation, and Hugo Black wrote a little bit more about it, and you can go look that up on your own time. But, I just don't see any reason. I guess maybe I'm so far down the libertarian rabbit hole, I don't see... My last name's Spangle. I'm jingoistic as they come.
You have red, white, and blue on right now.
I literally do, yeah. And I deeply love the American ideal and the American people. I have an unbelievably and growing huge issue with the way that all levels of our government operates. And the flag in many ways has been co-opted and has been turned into a punchline. It has been turned into symbolism. It is used to get people to buy into government policy. I don't think the founders would have wanted that. And the very people who are calling and threatening Maya are the very people who swore to uphold the American ideals.
Right.
Not government policy. You know, the Bill of Rights. And if I could tell you, if I could honestly talk about the stories that are going on in my life, you would just be horrified as to how far away from the Bill of Rights we are and how relevant the Declaration of Independence is in our country today with regards to our government. And we see it all the time. And you see the dysfunction, the lack of justice.
The lack of any... You see it with Edward Snowden, and you mm-hmm. see it with, you know, that kind of ties into Rand Paul. There's no way Eric Garner. It's down and down the line, there's once the government has created aggressed against you in a situation like this, and you have gone through proper channels to get it remediated or get it, you know, in arbitration, have it be settled and done, there with the government, there is no plan of recourse. There is no way of doing it, and that's Edward Snowden. That's why he did what he did, and guys have done it before him, whistleblowers, and it's so infuriating because all one has to do to lose hope in an ideal is encounter it in reality. Mm-hmm. The American ideal, it's important for me to separate the difference between what the, for instance, the debates that happened in the Federalist Papers between Hamilton and Jefferson, you know, all the individuals that participated, and then even the, you know, the anti-Federalist Papers, Patrick Henry.
Right.
Those are important too, but there's just no possible way of taking that theoretical ideal and putting it into practice and existence. And I think what happens is that human instinct to make them better, it's only shown over history. They only get worse as you try to make them better.
We've talked about incentives. I mean, all comes down to what incentives are. I mean, it's like the DCS stuff that we've talked about on the show recently. The incentive, and Rachel's story, go back and listen to episode 91 if you've not. The incentive is not for a caseworker or one of the 100 people that come into contact with Rachel who's dying and eventually dies to do what is morally right, because the incentive for them is to not speak up. It's not to do what is morally right because they might lose their job. They might get their agency in trouble. They are bound by rules that have been created by policymakers who don't have direct... It's a political football. It's not crafted by the people who do the work day in and day out. And so what we have at every single level of our government is a dysfunction that you may experience at your workplace. You know, a task needs to be done. Something needs to be done. And so one agency takes responsibility for it, but then they don't have all the power and all the enforcement because another agency has it. So, for instance, in a DCS case, you can call the police, and the police will say, well, you need to, if it's dealing with a child, you need to go to DCS, and they have police officers that deal with this. So then you go to DCS, and you talk to them, and they say, well, we don't have police officers and investigators that deal with this. You need to call the police. And if they can't help you, we can't help you. And you go back to the police, and they said, well, if DCS can't help you, we can't help you. But we're all very concerned and very sorry. And so we have built a system in this country of a lot of very concerned people who like to make up a lot of rules because they're concerned, but then nobody has the responsibility or the moral duty to do what's right.
The government, out of fear of responsibility and that responsibility being the political ramifications of their boss and their ability to keep their job with an administration change, has resulted in a responsibility hot potato scenario. It's
right.
Constantly passing it off to somebody else. And this is funny. You have read Atlas Shrugged or you haven't?
I have not.
So in Atlas Shrugged, this exact thing happens with the trains and the rail system that just completely deteriorates. Well, that's not my job. That was on this guy. And
right. That
is what happens in society. It's eventually just a passing off of responsibility to the point that is society, the government, the private corporations, which at this point are an extension of the government, completely cease to function.
And we as citizens get frustrated, and then we start taking our frustrations out in the weirdest, most strangest ways, you know, and we start sending Facebook messages to people where we hope that they die. You know, we plot people's death. I mean, it's just we are in a weird place, man. And I feel like we have been here before, and it's not a great place to be. You know, and I don't always have all the answers, but I think you see it in Congress too. I think at every level. I mean, it's perfectly illustrated by Congress and how dysfunctional and broken Congress is, and how nobody takes responsibility, but everybody's very concerned. No bills ever get passed. Nothing ever gets done. There's gridlock. There's dysfunction. In some ways, we as libertarians like when they can do less. But let's be honest. If we're going to have a government, don't you want it to be as efficient and as smooth and as effective as possible?
And as accountable.
And as accountable as possible? We don't have that. You know, Rand Paul is one of those people who is trying to raise issues. He's running for president. He is a politician. We have debated the Rand Paul and issues to death. You know, is he good? Is he bad? Who knows? But I will say he's got a gold star for this week. So why don't you kind of walk us through what Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky has done this week?
So yesterday, around 1:18, he took to the Senate floor, and what was going on was he wanted to the Patriot Act, the provisions that allow for the bulk actually they don't allow for it. That's what a federal appeals court ruled. A federal appeals court ruled that there was no justification for bulk collection by either the third party providers or the federal government in the storage of said data without a warrant, that is ready to expire at the end of May. And so actually, as of yesterday, the Pentagon has to start and the NSA have to start taking actions towards the repeal and the shutting down of this program if an extension isn't passed. And so in the House, the USA Freedom Act, which basically just codifies and creates the ability for third-party service providers to be forced to store the data, and then Congress to be able – it creates a formalized process to access it for the NSA. Rand Paul had said he wasn't going to filibuster. Then he told Republican colleagues yesterday at lunch around 11:30, he let it slip to a couple of them that he was running up there because he was afraid McConnell would prevent him, because of Senate rules, from actually being able to go up there. And,
it's good buddy Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
It's good buddy.
Well, that's the thing, is people blame McConnell, but I haven't heard Mitch McConnell say either way whether he was going to allow a cloture vote on this or not. Mm-hmm. I have a strong feeling that, like, kind of under Woody and the two, McConnell didn't want to be forced into a situation, and especially since Benton helped McConnell get reelected, Jesse Benton, who's now running Rand Super PAC, that there was a private conversation would be my guess that took place where it's do this or, you know, you are free. I won't stop you if you decide to. And it made it way better for McConnell, because what was actually the reason the left said it wasn't an actual filibuster is because what was going on is they were preparing the bill and trying to get the votes established and all the administrative tasks done yesterday for the TPP. for the cloture vote on the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership. And by Rand doing this, this prevented all the aides and staff from being able to work on it and get it ready. And so part of me thinks that the Republicans have been the biggest advocate for the president to get this passed, but they're not even sold on it. And so this allowed that to get delayed. And since it's a long weekend, they'll be out of town. Now they won't be able to have the cloture vote on the NSA or on the trade bill, would be my guess, since tomorrow's Friday, and they're all going to be home for Memorial Day weekend. And so Rand just took to the floor, and he was on the floor for 11 hours. He did it just before midnight, which people were concerned wouldn't be long enough to stop the vote. But it turns out it was, which makes me think also that McConnell had a bit of a hand in making sure the staff and aides were not very productive when they were putting it together.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's a weird relationship between Mitch and Rand. You know, everybody kind of questioned the support that Rand gave and endorsement that Rand gave of Mitch McConnell, since they're ideologically different on a lot of things, especially foreign policy. But Rand is up for Senate re-election in 2016, correct?
Yep.
And you can't run for re-election. You can't run for president and Senate in Kentucky at the same time, except they passed an exemption for Rand. Wonder how that got passed.
I'll tell you what.
There's a lot of deal-making between those two, I think.
And no one has more dirt on anyone in that state. Like, the fact that Rand Paul won, shocking, because Mitch McConnell is a man of, when you see him, he doesn't give Chris Matthews a shiver up his leg.
He's turtle.
Yeah. So he was in serious danger of losing until he got Jesse Benton to run his campaign for re-election this last time in 2014. But I think not a deal with the devil, but I think there is a mutually dependent relationship that's going on, in that McConnell needed Rand's endorsement to be seen as a small government conservative, and Rand needs McConnell in order to have all the leeway he needs to go out on a limb and distance himself from all the other conservatives in the race. Because with McConnell and him not publicly being on the same team, he gets to do something like yesterday. Because if McConnell really wanted to stop it, he could have done parliamentary procedures that would have never gave Rand enough time to actually be able to go up there and do that.
Right.
But now he doesn't get accused of that, and now Rand gets to distance. I mean, Rand had been out of the gate quickly for the last about month or so. He had avoided major issues. How he talked about Baltimore, not wanting to, you know, have to go there. I think he said something along the lines of he wouldn't want to get out of the train or something like that if he were to go to Baltimore. And that was a stumble. And then now he's right back to, not quite back to where he was after the drone filibuster from last year.
Right.
But so he,
which in that period, Mitch McConnell really helped him with that as well.
Huge.
And I don't know if he endorsed what Rand was saying, but he definitely didn't say anything, which was, you know, tantamount to an endorsement from people, according to people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. Oh God. And you know what though? I'll tell you what. So reporters were actually, the Senate was having lunch. They were in the cafeteria, and that's when Rand went around. And I can just see this, like a high school cafeteria, like Rand going around, "Hey, I'm going up there," and let it leak. And a reporter, when this was going on, went up to Lindsey Graham and, you know, asked him his thoughts, since he had just announced, or he will be announcing for president soon. And he said, good luck to him. And I would have thought that Lindsey Graham would have taken the moment right there to talk about how Rand Paul and ISIS are effectively teammates, you know, by ending the bulk collection of and storage of data by the, well, third-party providers. But he talked for 11 hours. Ron Wyden, who's been an absolute staunch supporter and the one that was in the Senate that called out the Section 214 before anybody else, the Patriot Act, he was the one that's been championing this before. He helped. Ted Cruz actually showed up. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz said that Ted took the more pragmatic approach, in that this bill, regardless of the extension of, or basically the Freedom Act, wasn't going to pass the Senate ever. And so, you know, it was funny for Ted to just say this is really a vanity play, you know. And then John Cornyn, even, you know, Cornyn said, no, he's doing the right thing. And John Cornyn's about as lifelong stalwart Senate Republican in, you know, more of that Dick Lugar type senator that's not, you know, he's seen as very serious and foreign policy oriented.
Right.
For him to, you know, say that he's in support with Rand makes me think that all the leadership in the Republican Party are. But then there was Joe Manchin. They had 10 senators that came out in support. Then Justin Amash, Massey, and one of the other liberty-oriented showed up. Mike Lee took the floor for a
Raul
while.
Raul Labrador?
Raul Labrador may have been. I doubt it.
He's such a good boy. Okay, I just wanted to say that.
Why?
Because he's a Labrador. Who's a good boy?
That was Jeff Duncan from South Carolina. That was the other House GOP member.
I love his donuts.
Did you watch this at all, by the way?
No.
You didn't watch any of it?
No. I've been crazy busy like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't know, though. I know, remember the last time we, when Rand did a filibuster, Creighton was standing. Remember, if he said he was almost crying because he was doing it was when the Rand boner first came about. Was, you know, Creighton's Rand boner was the filibuster. And I think he was with Young Americans for Liberty at the time.
Didn't he go to the actual chambers at some point?
No, because he was. This had to be. Yeah. Has Rand filibustered 3 times?
He was here because I remember he was real worked up over
it. Oh, and he had to write about it? He told us he was almost in tears and, like, we're in a private side chat.
I honestly think that that's when the term Rand boner was originated.
It was. Yeah, we're like, he's got a huge Rand boner. And he was like, I love this guy. He's Paul Revere.
He's Paul Revere.
And, I mean, it is. To me, the bulk, you know, it's way different. This has to stop because he makes a great point in that it's a general, you know how we've talked before about the Fourth Amendment's cause was in response to the general writ warrant where they didn't really, you just had it was blanket, any justification you needed it for.
Right.
This isn't exactly the same concept, but what it is it's a collective warrant because they're collecting all the data,
right,
without ever going and saying, I would like a warrant on this individual. I suspect him of a crime. They're just saying, you're all guilty.
Right.
Because we got the data, and all we have to do is ask.
It's guilty until proven innocent.
It's a threat. And that was Rand's point in something he talked about, was that there is nothing more important than what's been lost today is the presumption of innocence.
Yeah.
It is gone. And I loved it that he brought up that. He brought up Binning, who was the first NSA whistleblower before Snowden in 2002. He was a director that whistleblew about this practice.
Right.
He just hit so many great points, and he did a good job. Mike Lee was way more liberty oriented than I would have imagined.
He's not bad on a lot of issues, and he's better on this issue than you think. From what I've picked up,
he is, and it's the cultural issues where we really break with Mike Lee.
Yeah,
but he does seem to be more in, like, he's quiet about those. Whereas Ted Cruz champions, you know, declaring for president at Liberty Universities.
Yeah, that's a little Christian-y.
It's like if he were
campaign photos with the Duggars,
right? He's like the Christian Baghdadi, like that. Like, instead of doing it in Iraq and declaring yourself caliphate, Ted Cruz.
Yeah, he's not quite Pat Robertson in 1986, but
no, but that was a different world, you know. So he did this. The filibuster went on for 11 hours. It ended up being long enough to push this thing back, and so this was really where the snark came in is that. It wasn't technically a filibuster because it was he took the floor when it was supposed to be they were discussing a different bill,
right?
You know, the TPP, which is a whole different issue. God, and we talked about it last week, but it's only gotten way worse.
We missed getting Maya's opinion on the trans union or the trans, what is it?
The Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah, we
treaty.
We should have gotten her opinion on that.
Why would that be relevant?
Well, you know, she's an expert on all things trans. We didn't get her Bruce Jenner opinion either.
Oh, well, we can't even have a discussion about Bruce Jenner unless we have Aaron Ewart on.
He's so brave.
Oh, God. did you see that picture got put up of him in a Mexican restaurant in his hometown?
Yes.
That's the greatest trolling accomplishment I've ever had.
Okay, so we need to talk about your memes.
Oh no! Let's finish with
Rand, but then we're gonna talk about your memes, and then we're gonna go because I gotta get up early tomorrow, an hour earlier than normal.
Oh wow!
I'm not happy.
Like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m.?
4:15 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And it is 10:30. Okay, any final thoughts on Rand?
I thought it was wonderful what he did. I thought he did a great job of disrupting the flow of the Senate, because the longer the TPP gets drug out and the Republicans don't get blamed for it, because right now it looks like it's a fight between the president and the Democrats over, you know, labor union protection, the better it is for a Rand Paul, and it gives him more of a platform to talk about this, the privacy, which is really a discussion that needs to be had. Like, the free trade's the one thing. This is the TPP is going to happen. It will happen, whether or not, you know. But they have an actual chance of stopping the extension of Section 214, which allows the bulk collection.
Really? You think so?
They literally do, because this Friday, tomorrow, they have to actually start shutting down operations.
Ooh.
The Pentagon does. So they have to
start. You're turning me on.
I know. And I love it, because the Freedom Act just says, no, the third-party providers have to hold on. It's basically like an email. You know, they have to hold emails for so long, only it's metadata. Whereas this, without law in place, it doesn't really, they don't have a way to go forward. So then the provider, and that was something Rand said, the providers should do civil disobedience and stand up against the government telling them to hold on to it and let them easily access it.
Well, let's all keep our fingers crossed, say a little prayer, send healing vibes.
My feels.
Okay. We need to talk about something, people, okay? It apparently has become offensive to say, I'm praying for you. So now, like, I see people saying, I'm sending healing vibes. Oh. I'm sending positive energy your way. How is that different than a prayer? Just say you're praying for somebody. I'm sending healing vibes, Greg.
Are you saying it where it's offensive if you say I'm praying for you?
People... I'm saying that if you say, I'm sending healing vibes, I'm sending positive energy your way, I read it like those people don't want to say, I'm praying for you.
Oh, okay. So,
because they're either ashamed, or they're afraid they'll be mocked for saying prayer. They're afraid they'll be associated with being a Christian, or I'm not sure what it is, but to me, prayer is not a Christian thing. Prayer is... like, from the beginning of time with man, in every religion, there's meditation and prayer, and there's community prayer, there's personal prayer. Like, prayer is connecting one-on-one with both God and also sending healing vibes and positive energy. Like, I don't understand why you would ever say, if you're too afraid or too weirded out with the word pray, but then you'll say you'll send healing vibes. Like, to me... you sound a little crazy.
Well, it's the PC. It's the political correctness of society has. I mean, it's at every level.
Right.
It's to the point where if you know you saying that you are going to pray for someone in a tough time, which you know, however you interpret that, is a microaggression.
Right, and you don't want to look. You don't want to look insensitive, and you don't want to look insane because you're associated with Christian. So you're going to say you're sending healing vibes. You don't want to look insane, but you're going to say something that makes no goddamn sense.
But shouldn't you be free to say whatever you wish?
You may, but I'm free to judge you for being an idiot.
So,
and let me tell you.
Does it bug you if, for instance, you were to say one of your cats got the sniffles, and I said, I'm sending healing vibes your way, that would be offensive?
I would be annoyed. I'd know you were trolling me, so I'd laugh. I mean, why can't we get back to the days when you posted a prayer need and you said one like, one pray? One share equals five prays.
I do think there needs to be
comment equals two prays.
Yeah, there does need to be a pray conversion exchange or, you know, similar to a currency exchange, because that's always been a bit vague to me. But I think it's interesting that bugs you.
I don't, because I'll tell you what it is, because I've thought long and deep about why this pisses me off. It's because there's an accepted word for it. There's nothing to be ashamed about saying I'm praying for you. You have manipulated and changed your language for other people. if you're saying you want to send healing vibes, unless you're like some new age spiritualist and that has a meaning to you, cool. I'm down with that. I understand. But if you are changing your language to sending positive vibes because you want to be as unoffensive as possible, if that's a word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unoffensive as possible, so you don't... I'm the type of person, and I think you are certainly this way. I don't, at the end of the day, give a crap what most people think about me.
Yeah.
I am me. And being me is working out fine in life, and I will generally say, within social norms, I'm always socially appropriate, except today when I told...
Today you flirted, right? Well...
I mean,
you know, I said, hey, Chris, you know that line you're never supposed to cross?
Turn around and wave at it.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to be me, and I'm going to have my beliefs, and if they don't make sense to you, I don't care. You know, there are many people who are like, well, you're Christian, so why are you cursing? Because I want to. And if you don't like it, I don't care.
Sounds a whole lot like Jesus is going to get wrestled is what it sounds like to me.
Jesus and I have a complicated relationship, yeah. Okay? But it's our relationship and it's not yours. And if you wanted to... I just hate when people have expectations of me or that I don't fit into their box... You know, and Maya, more than anyone has ever taught me about this, you are a prisoner to society's expectations of you.
Yep.
And you are a prisoner to what you have been socialized to, and social norms. You know, people get married because they think they have to be married for various reasons, for social pressure. They get married in a certain way, or they go to college and major in a certain thing because their parents want them to. Listen... Don't ever do anything because somebody else wants you to. If your gut is saying, I don't want to do this, then don't do it. And F the consequences, it will work out just fine. I promise you. You know, and don't do things because other people think that you ought to do it. And so it's that principle that this whole, I'm sending healing vibes thing pisses me off. Because you're not doing it for you. You're doing it to impress other people or to not offend other people and F other people. Say what you want to say. And maybe I'm just crazy and I missed out on some new religion that has been started, and that is a thing, and there is a whole backstory. You are more than welcome to write on my Facebook wall and explain it to me. Look me up, Chris Spangle. I'm the one with Dear Leader memes all over my Facebook page. But it just annoys me. I just get frustrated and annoyed when people don't do what they want to do. They do what everybody else thinks they ought to do.
Yeah.
And if everybody just were honest and everybody just lived their life the way that they wanted to live their life, the world would be better and people wouldn't be so pissed off and angry and bitter and awful all the time. I'm ranting on a podcast about being angry and bitter. I get it. But I'm on a mission to civilize, okay?
You're Don Quixote.
I'm trying to make the world a better place. Listen to me. It just, you know, everybody is so... It's like you can't be positive. If you're happy and positive, I think we talked about this on the recent podcast. If you're happy and positive, you're a weirdo.
Yeah.
You've got to be cynical and awful and cold and distant and nasty and snarky.
Misunderstood.
And it's everybody's got angst, you know.
Oh, gosh.
And maybe we're all that way because we're all trying to live our lives to impress other people. We're all, you know, fake concerned. And Claire McCaskill is never watching Game of Thrones because... There was a rape scene, and it contributes to the rape culture.
Like you were quoting earlier, rape has plummeted.
Right.
Internet
porn has reduced... They're working on studies, okay? It's not conclusive that this is the reason, but one of the theories is that the reason that rape, violent rape, according to FBI statistics, is down like 80% since 1993 is that there's now internet porn. And that pornography has given men on the edges who have these urges, it gives them an outlet to privately work out their urges and their thoughts and their feelings instead of going out and abusing other people. But porn's bad. We've got to get rid of it. Don't talk about pornography. Don't have a sexual thought in your mind because other people might be offended or grossed out or think that you're weird by that.
It's culture rape.
It's you wonder why everybody feels bad about themselves all the time. Stop listening to other people. And social media makes everything so much worse because then everybody is like, oh, I can't post this. My aunt's on my Facebook page, and then she'll think this about me, and then it'll turn into this thing. It's like, you know what? Your aunt's an idiot. Tell her to go fuck herself.
Whoa!
Hey, Aunt Donna, eat a dick. Try it at next Thanksgiving. Once you've told Aunt Donna to eat a dick, then you can do and say whatever you want for the rest of your life. Mostly because you'll never see your family again.
Exactly. But I hope you enjoy excommunication.
We've all got that Aunt Donna. I don't personally have an Aunt Donna, but we all have that Aunt Donna who just needs to shut up. Because you know, behind the scenes, Aunt Donna is getting gagged and tied up by Uncle Rico.
Whoa.
Please. She's as much of a freak behind the scenes as everybody else. She just wants you to think she's a nice person.
Oh, she just goes to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
I do think that
giving hand jobs to the associate pastor. I've had 3 hours of sleep. I've made bad decisions this week.
On an absolute tear. I said today, you've been like a social, you're like a social media kamikaze pilot. You're on a mission.
Full Maya, and Joe reminded me not to go full Maya, and we should not have done this podcast. Because I just said Aunt Donna's jacking off the associate pastor.
Twice.
So inappropriate.
Inappropriate, Mitch.
But it's true. Ugh. Okay? One of the reasons that people hate David Letterman and are saying, oh, he's not funny, I'm so glad he's retiring, because David Letterman doesn't give a shit about what any of you people think. Any of you conservatives who love Sarah Palin because you're all too stupid to realize what a fucking moron she is. Am I wrong? Don't make that face at me.
No, I'm just saying.
She's everything that is wrong with American politics. She's a dumbass. She should not have any Facebook followers. She should sit in Alaska in a hunting lodge and smoke her meat.
Watch Russia.
And be quiet. And it's not because she's a woman. It's because she's an idiot. She should never have been governor of anything. I wouldn't have even elected her governor in Walking of Dead. So David Letterman says whatever he wants to say all the time and builds an audience because he's authentic and genuine and real, and people respond to that. You couldn't have had Jay Leno, the biggest phony on the planet, or Jimmy Fallon, the second biggest phony on the planet, do what David Letterman did after 9/11. David Letterman made us proud to be Americans. He helped heal us. He helped us learn to laugh at it a little bit 4 days after 9/11, and a phony can't do that. Only somebody who is genuinely great at broadcasting, at being listen, he's had his moral failings, but being a decent human being at the end of the day by being honest and open and genuine, you know? And so, listen, real talk. That's what you're getting. That's what you're getting here on We Are Libertarians. I'm unleashed.
Hashtag real talk.
All right, so.
How do you feel about the chicks on the right?
I should I'm out. They shouldn't have a radio show. They're morons. There's the Sarah Palin of talk radio.
I feel like I just want to sit here and ask opinions on people right now. You're in a very vulnerable, dangerous spot.
I'm in a very bad spot.
And I'm not going to exploit it because I don't want to be a bad friend.
I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, what did I say?
Oh, my gosh.
Aunt Donna jacked off an associate pastor? I'm going to have to put an exclaimer. I have been out of control on this show.
No, I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. It was a wonderful stream of consciousness that just poured out of you. But
it is true, though. Am I wrong? Am I saying anything that's crazy, Greg?
You're not. My mom, she went back to college later in life at IUPUI for social work. And her favorite, I'd say the most important thing she learned in social work was that she had a professor that would always say, society will rob you of your soul.
Yes.
And she always preached that to me, and I think that's the most important thing you can learn. One is, I think that's a very libertarian thought, you know, because it's the individual against the collective. It's that.
It's truly where it comes from for me, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, that you've had no problem being the individual, and just because the individualism and libertarianism are becoming cool now, it hasn't changed you, and it won't change you.
Right.
And so that whole I'm sending positive vibes started out as an individual level thing for one person because they didn't want it didn't mean anything to say I'm going to pray for you.
Right.
And now it's turned into a social movement and political correctness, and you say it only thinking about the perception. You don't say it actually ever sending any positive vibes.
Yeah.
You're saying it so people think you're a good person, but on a bigger level, so people think you're in a more evolved, smarter,
You're better than Christians.
Better than Christians. Right. You are a more highly developed being.
When really you're just full of crap and everybody knows it. And you just can't think of anything else to say in a moment of... You just don't know how to handle another person's emotions.
Yeah.
You don't know how to comfort somebody. And so instead of learning how to comfort someone in a time of tragedy and need, because every human being will have a coming contact at some point with another human being who is in deep emotional distress, and you will be there yourself. And instead of learning how to comfort those people or how to work through those emotions or how to deal with that or how to counsel a friend, you just say, I'm sending positive vibes. That doesn't make you a better person. That just makes you full of crap. And it does nothing to help the other person.
No, in fact, it probably enrages them, as it clearly...
Right. If my cat dies and you say you're sending healing vibes, I'm blocking you. And frankly, just saying, I'm praying for you, it's the same thing. You're not, you know...
It's a public declaration, private offer to help.
Going on Facebook and writing on somebody's wall, I'm sending healing vibes, is really more like, look at me. Trust me, I know. I do spend my whole life going, look at me. You know, like, I have someone making memes about me and I love it. Send them a private message. You don't have to,
drop off a plate of cookies in their mailbox. You know, a small gesture.
Go above and beyond. You know, I Facebooked you because you just don't mean enough for me to have personal contact with you.
I Facebooked you and liked this status just so everyone else could see that I am a wonderful individual.
Right.
And I will broadcast that as much as possible.
Yeah. And it's the same with politics. I'm going to write this hashtag because I'm desperately concerned about the girls that are being impregnated and raped in Boko Haram. So I'm going to make a fat hashtag. I'm not going to donate
money. Did you hear
about
that, though? Of the 200 girls that were abducted, 80% are pregnant?
Yeah. We're surprised by what?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm just like, man.
This is another thing. We in society have so much shame wrapped around sex that we can't talk about one of the most disgraceful and disgusting things that happen in our world, which is sex slavery. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway is about to host the Indy 500. We have a million people around the track. It is the largest in-person sporting event in the world. I think it's the world.
Yeah.
Here in a few days. Sex slavery and sex trafficking is supposed to dramatically spike here in Indianapolis this weekend. Those are your friends and neighbors. That's not Boko Haram. That's not Boko Haram.
It's not upper middle class. It's not middle class. It's elite. It's elite. And then it's the polar of the socioeconomic status.
It is the guy that you see at the gas station. It is the guy that you see in the boardroom sitting across from you.
And they know each other.
Yep. So think about that. Think about the absolute... I mean, I've had a week, okay?
You're triggered.
I'm triggered, all right. I'm triggered big time.
Who would have thought?
I've had a week.
A simple comment like "I'm sending positive vibes your way" would trigger you to the point of calling Uncle Donna Uncle Donna. I'm trying to be gender conscious here.
Aunt Donna, the sweet church lady, is actually just a whore.
Oh my God!
You know, David Letterman's not funny anymore. He used to be funny back when he did jumped on a wall with a Velcro suit. That one time he did it in like 1987, and now you say that David Letterman's not funny or SNL's not funny. It's just one of those things that you say because everybody else says it, and it makes you think that you sound smart, but really you don't sound smart. You just sound like you're saying something that everybody else says. You know, and there's a million of those things like.
You're the hipster sipping coffee, but your journal, your Moleskin book is blank. You have nothing to write about.
SNL isn't funny like they used to be. You know, it's one of those things people say. Like my dad's Puerto Rican.
Oh, did he ever get you back for that today?
No,
he never did.
No,
huh?
No. Joe's dad's Puerto Rican.
He forswore his vengeance, like the dad and the Godfather, Vito Corleone.
So. All right, I have to go to bed. I've had 3 hours of sleep. I had caffeine before the show to kind of get myself amped up.
And you are. There will be no sleep where you are right now.
I'm I get in certain moods. There are times where I'm the pastoral, quiet, consoling Chris Spangle, the gentle Chris Spangle. I'm in the Joker, like, watch the world burn mode today.
I feel like you're at a very important moment where if you were to come down from a mountain with tablets with for rules for society and civilization, that you might be able to start a movement.
Number one, thou shalt not hang with Hanna Drazic.
Absolutely. Always ignore.
Number two, thou shalt not send positive vibes.
You know what? You should start a trend. Anytime it's a positive vibe, you report. That's what you should do.
We need to teach people lessons.
Let's start a movement where anytime someone does something that's publicly PC for appearances, report it immediately. Microaggression.
All right. I'm about to post something on my Facebook page.
Uh-oh.
Man, I had to open up that again, and I got distracted. You'll have to go look me up. This will be May 21st.
Yeah.
10:43 p.m. Check out my Facebook page. Share, comment.
Don't you dare send vibes.
No. All right. All right, we're going to wrap up. Final thoughts for this episode?
No, we were going to talk about Bin Laden, but we will save that for another day.
All right, cool. I have nothing else to say. I've run out of things.
Boy, that certainly was like a crescendo. You know, it started off, you know, I thought was going to be as animated as this show got, and my gosh, was that wrong.
There
was
you get me in the right mood.
Yeah, I guess. I bring out the worst in you.
No, it's just...
I trigger you.
It's like... Some episodes, I'm just happy to let you guys talk and listen and kind of, you know, make a joke where I can and just chill out. And then other times I'm like, I knew yesterday. Some stuff happened yesterday and I was just sitting there like last night. I was like, I should cancel tomorrow night because it's not going to be good. Like, I'm going to say something stupid like, Osama bin Laden had a point. Or, you know, like, it'll be the end of my life or career. You know, so, but luckily I didn't say that.
No, you didn't. You just, you might have some issues at Thanksgiving, but other than that,
no,
you're gonna be fine.
Aunt Donna and I are tight. We made out back in 73. All right. Thanks for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. We appreciate your patronage, and by that, you get this for free. So don't be stingy. Share it with your friends, family. And if you are so inclined, if you'd like to keep the pirate ship afloat, as our good friend Adam Carolla says, go to WeAreLibertarians.com and click the PayPal button and send us a few bucks. And
can we put a positive vibes bucket on the webpage where people could send them?
We totally should.
We really should.
All right. Thanks for joining us. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.